Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 5 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 24, 36 through 53. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast and you're interested in helping with production costs, we have a Patreon page where you can join in. Links are in the description and the show notes. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to encounter with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke 24, starting in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." This is an amazing moment, right? These two guys from the road to Emmaus, they've come back and they've said, "We've seen Jesus. He is alive. It's true." And they're all marveling this and everyone's talking about this. And then in that moment, Jesus appears. Now, this is a pretty cool trick, right? Jesus is now able to just kind of appear and disappear and show up in different places wherever he wants. This is wild what Jesus is able to do. And it begs the question, Lord, is this something that we get to do in eternity when we receive our eternal bodies and we're there with you in eternity? Is there no more travel? Can you disappear and reappear? Is there some kind of like divine teleportation? All of these questions, they swirl around in my head. I'm like, this is super cool. This is really awesome. I'm like, Luke, you know, Matthew, Mark, John, like, tell us a little bit more about this. I want to hear a little bit more about how this works and why this happens. And is this something we get to participate in the future? This is really, really something. And there's just not enough details to satisfy me when it comes to that, when it comes to God's word. So I look forward to the day when I see the Lord face to face and I get to find out, is this something we get to do too? And I really hope it, you know, just between you and me, I really hope it is, because it sounds really cool. But at any rate, Jesus is now standing before them. Verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." This seems like a reference specifically to doubting Thomas, the one that couldn't believe and wouldn't believe that Jesus was alive until he could touch his hands and his side. And here Jesus shows up, and we know from the other gospels that Jesus shows up and he's like, "Why are you doubting? Look here." And he goes up to Thomas and he says, "Put your hands in my hands, put your hands on my side." And Thomas is like, "I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Don't make me do it." And here Jesus is appearing before them. And he knows that they had doubts. He knows the conversations that were going on before he appears. He knows that they're struggling with this, but he's going to reassure them beyond a shadow of any doubt that he is in fact very much alive. Our faith hinges on this. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, he was not crucified and risen, then we Christians are of all people on earth most to be pitied. Because if this didn't actually happen, if this is metaphorical, if this is not literal, then Christians should be pitied, because our faith rests on nothing. It rests on nonsense. Our faith hinges on the historical and actual crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If that didn't happen, we are of all people most to be pitied. Continuing on. Verse 40, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. I love the fact that Jesus is in their presence and he actually eats something with them. He's showing that he is physical. This is not a ghost. This is not the Holy Ghost. This is not some spirit. This is not something ethereal. Jesus is real. Jesus is tangible. He's physical. He's there. And he is human forever, for all eternity. Jesus didn't become Martian or whatever else. If there's something else out there, I personally kind of doubt if there is. But even if there is, Jesus didn't become that. He didn't become an ape or a chimpanzee or some other higher order of primate. He became human. And for all eternity, he will be human. He will have flesh and bones, and he will eat and dine with us for all eternity. He is still very much God, but he will forever be man. It will be the mystery for billions and trillions of years why God would redeem his rebellious creation by stooping down in humility and becoming one of us, and then dying the most humiliating death, one of the most humiliating deaths in all of human history. And then rising from the dead to redeem us so that we would live forever. This is the mystery of eternity. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus is telling them that he's coming on the day of Pentecost. They don't know it's the day of Pentecost yet. They don't know when it's coming. They just know Jesus said, look, my Father is going to give you. I'm sending the thing that my Father has promised. The Holy Spirit. There's going to be power. And the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian is power. It is amazing when you experience, when you see firsthand that power of the Holy Spirit. It changes you forever. And the Lord speaks and touches you and moves in your life with that power. It marks and changes you. The apostles, they're going to be marked and changed forever because the Holy Spirit is going to fall on them in power. Verse 50. When he had led them into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So Luke gives us a bit of a Reader's Digest version of the ascension of Jesus. We know that there's some angels that show up and say, hey, why are you standing here? Don't you know he's going to come back in the same way that he left? We also know from the book of Acts that the apostles, the people that are there, they're every morning and night, they go to meeting in this upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. And they're praying and they're waiting on the Lord, but they're obviously also going into the temple and praising the Lord and worshiping him in the temple courts. So they're going back and forth. And it could be that there was a 24/7 vigil in the upper room. It could have been that they were meeting there two or three times a day, but then going back to the temple at other times. It could be that part of them were keeping a 24/7 vigil in this upper room and part of them were going back and forth to the temple and vice versa. We know that there's nothing here that would say that's a contradiction to anything else in the rest of the Gospels or even in the book of Acts. I mean, Luke is the one who's going to write the book of Acts. And so he is going to talk about them being in the upper room in the book of Acts. And so he's not contradicting himself here. He's giving us a little bit of understanding of the reality of what's going on. But they have encountered Jesus. Jesus has risen from the dead, and now he's ascended into heaven. And he's saying, go and don't leave the city until power comes on you. And we know that they, the believers, the apostles, the disciples, and those with them, that they believe Jesus at this point. And they go and they're waiting. And they're waiting and they're praying and they're seeking him. They don't know what that power is going to look like. They don't know what to expect. But 50 days after Passover, on Pentecost, just a week after this moment happens, power is going to come on them, and it's going to change the face of the earth. Jesus ended up with 12 disciples, one of whom betrayed him. Ended up with just a handful more of people who followed him by the time that he died. He wasn't bad at marketing. He wasn't bad at presenting himself. He was very intentional with what he did. He made sure that if anybody wanted an excuse not to believe in him for any reason, they could have it. Jesus made sure that only the humblest of hearts would be the ones that would follow him to the grave and beyond in these short days. But when that power of the Holy Spirit is going to fall on the church, fall on the believers, thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions and billions would know the name of Jesus and follow him. There is yet more souls to be gathered into the harvest before Jesus returns. I pray that you and I will daily pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us, that we would continue and accelerate that which was started by what Jesus promised, by the giving of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit coming on the apostles and those disciples that were with them on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. We need that power of the Holy Spirit today because there are still more souls to come in. Jesus winnowed down the number of people. He whittled down the number of people that actually followed him to very few so that the power of the Holy Spirit resting and residing within his people would be the catalyst to bring in the harvest, to bring in the fullness of the number of God's people. And you and I, we are those that carry that good news. We are those that bear that witness to what Jesus has done. And you and I are the ones who get to add to, and who knows, may even get to see the completion of the number, the fullness of the number that God has to come into the kingdom before he returns. I've so enjoyed going through the book of Luke. It's such a powerful book. We've come to the end of it now. My heart is heavy to move on, but I'm filled with excitement with what we've gotten out of the book of Luke. We're going to be moving next into the book of Ephesians and Galatians, and I'm excited to jump into that. And I pray that you will join us for that. I pray that you will start reading the book of Ephesians and Galatians together. They're 10 chapters total. And so I pray that you will begin reading those 10 times in 10 weeks as we jump into that. For the book of Luke and for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.